And if you can guess, we are going to study and learn about Mary this morning. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, is what we commonly know her as, and we recognize her as that. And so as we continue in our study, you can turn in your pew Bible to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. A very familiar verse. You'll see that if you've been part of the church most of your life, you'll often hear this story in Advent and so on. So you're going to hear it today. But today's not going to be so much a Christmas message, but a message about Mary's life. And so we're going to study her word from a little bit different perspective today. And so beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we humbly come before you today. Lord, we ask for your Spirit to teach us today. We ask for your word to go out to those that need to hear your voice and your message today. And Lord, may we learn to apply it to our lives. We pray that the Spirit of God will open our ears and our minds and our souls to your teaching today. And Lord, may these words be yours and never my own. And Lord, I pray you fill me with that same Spirit and that you use me to teach and to pronounce your word. In Jesus I pray, amen.
Mary, my betrothed, you have the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen and the sweetest smile.
Don't be afraid.
I'm the Lord's servant.
Help us! Please!
Lady, I believe your son is the promised king of his people. What is his name?
His name is Jesus.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new?
Mary,
and this child. Walked where angels try.
out of him.
The rain will leave, the tongue will speak, the praise is out.
Who are you?
Mary, did you know?
Tell me who you are.
Your baby boy, it's Lord of
Jesus.
All creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the
Mary knew at all what she was looking at and what she was going to face in the life that she was going to live with this son called Jesus. No, Mary didn't know. There's no way she really would have known all that was going to occur in the life of Jesus. Yes, she knew she was giving birth to the long-awaited Savior that Scripture had talked about for thousands of years. She had an inkling when the angel Gabriel came to visit her. She was aware of the prophecies in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah. She knew that he would give sight to the blind, that he would heal the sick, and he would set the captives free. But no, she didn't know that he would walk on water. She didn't know that she would feed some 5,000 people with a few fish and a few loaves of bread, or that he would raise people from the dead. She didn't know that he'd be crucified in front of her, and certainly didn't know he would rise from the dead 3 days later. And yet Scripture calls her the most blessed and the most highly favored by God. But yet, she was still a normal young lady who faced many of the same things we still face today. Mary herself was a humble soul who maintained a consistently low profile throughout her life. Mary's husband was Joseph, who many of you know this story. We know very little about Joseph. We know that he was a carpenter. Here's some other facts about Mary. To this marriage, there were other children born. We could call them half-brothers or sisters to Jesus. James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And then Matthew 13, verse 35 says, along with sisters as well. We don't know their names, but we know that Jesus had half-sisters. We know that Mary lived in a little town called Nazareth, more than likely born and raised there. Nazareth was considered to be the poor district of Galilee. Mary also had a sister. We don't know her name, but John 19, verse 25 speaks of that. At the foot of the cross was Mary and her sister. She had other relatives. Elizabeth and Zechariah are mentioned, more than likely an aunt and an uncle. We know that she was betrothed or engaged to Joseph when she became pregnant through the work of the Holy Spirit. And Mary carried the stigma of an unwed pregnancy, which created all kinds of issues for her and Joseph and the way people viewed them in society where they lived. And yet Mary never, ever complained. Scripture says in verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. She instantly and joyfully submitted to God's will without further question. You know, this morning as I went through this past study this week, I thought to myself, we so often focus these words on Jesus and the birth of Christ and the Advent story and the expectation of the coming of Christ and so on, that we often forget about who's this Mary in these words, in the scripture that we look at this morning. So we're going to kind of point at her life and see what things were going on and how God not only used her, but what God also did with her in that life and how it reflects back to us this morning. And I don't by no means want to take away from the story of Jesus Christ, because that is the most important story we have today. But sometimes it can overshadow the life of Mary. In the midst of the Messiah's birth, God's incredible plan for Mary's life is revealed. When Mary was only a teenager, maybe 13 or so, she was confronted with the challenge to be completely submitted to God's will. Completely submitted. When Gabriel gave her the angelic message that she was to carry the Christ, she was stunned, I'm sure. She was caught off guard. And we see that key phrase in the verses, "I am the Lord's servant," is how she responds to that. "May it be as you have said." No doubt. Mary never wavered from her complete submission to God's will. Was she nervous? Probably. Was she unsure of her own abilities, of how this is going to play out and what kind of mother she was going to be? Who wouldn't be? Was she anxious about the prophecy that part of her future would include joys along with pains? Probably. But she carried out God's plan for her all the way to the cross, to death. So let me ask you a question this morning, as I get to challenge you this morning. What is God's incredible plan for your life, and how has it been revealed to you? Think about that for a moment in your life. What is God revealing to you? How is He speaking to you? What is He calling you to in your life? Such as Mary. And maybe you're sitting there today and you know, I just don't really understand what God's calling me to do. Or maybe you think He hasn't revealed your plan to you. Or maybe you have that feeling deep down inside that you're not really sure what to do. Or you feel empty and that God's not filling that void in your life. You know, ask yourself those questions. Pray about those things. A lot of times I figure out that when people are void and they're empty and they're not sure what life's calling them to, they're not in God's will. Or God's in the process of maybe moving them to a different area of their life that they're not sure of yet. And God is slowly revealing that plan to you. Pray for that. Because when you're living in God's will, you'll find peace. You'll find joy. You'll find fulfillment. You'll find contentment like Mary did in her life, where she was at a point when Gabriel said to her, "You're going to carry the Christ child." And she said, "Okay. I'm on board with that." Mary had that in her life. So may you find that this morning in your faith walk with the Lord. Here's something else we learn. A person called by God doesn't have to be perfect. You know, there's this whole debate, was Mary sinless? You know, and if you're part of the Catholic Church, you know, she's pushed up into the position of a saint. But you have to remember, she still had sin. Original sin consumed her life. Just like you and I. She dealt with some of the same temptations that you and I dealt with. She was not the perfect mother. Can you imagine what people must have thought when they found out that she was pregnant before she was married? how that must have gone over in their community. You've read the stories. You know what I'm talking about. Most of you do. That how she, you know the way Joseph thought of her and when he found out that she used to be with child. Rejection. Privately going to divorce her. Public shunning. But Mary accepted the fact that people were going to think badly of her because she knew different. Despite the fact that she was the mother of Jesus, Mary wasn't perfect. You know, you look at some stories in the Bible and Jesus growing up and the things that he's doing, especially in his ministry. One of the greatest things we see is in John chapter 2. If you want to go home and read that, it's the very common story where Jesus is at the wedding in Cana and he turns the water into wine because they're out of wine. And Mary comes to him and says, Jesus. And she knows what he's capable of. He says, we got a little problem here at this wedding. We need more wine, and I know that you can do a miracle. Can you take care of this? And Jesus responds to his mother, and he says this, now is not my time. Almost as if Mary is starting to push Jesus along in his ministry, that he called him out of his spot. Now, you children out there, don't try that with your parents. Now's not the time. But that's what Jesus said to Mary. You know, Mary wasn't perfect in Scripture. We see that she had some flaws, and we are not perfect as humans either. But God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. Through it all, for every one of us here gathered here today, when you make mistakes in your life, God will always love you. God will always work with where you're at. He'll turn the corner on a bad situation. He'll turn the corner on a bad decision that you make. He'll turn it around when you fall into sin or you fall into that trap of whatever it might be that you find yourself in. Through it all, the task that God calls you to do in your life, He will accomplish those things in your life. Now, a lot of times we don't always know what those are. And if you look back at your life, you might be in a place like, I never thought I'd ever be here in this situation at this time. You know, you never thought that this is where your life would go. But God always has seen this is where your life will go. And He knows what lays ahead of you. And so let me ask you this morning. When you think that you're not the perfect person, you know, we've seen that Mary's not perfect and so on. She made mistakes. You made mistakes. But let me ask you this morning. Do you ever worry about what others think when God calls you to do something in your life? Have you ever had that thought? Let me ask you a few more questions. Knowing this then, as you live life, are you more concerned about pleasing God or people? Who is Mary more concerned with pleasing people? Who do you think Mary was? Who? God. Exactly. And we need to learn from that. In her life, when God called her to do something, to call the Christ child, she did not back away from that. She engaged that, and she was more worried about pleasing God in her life than she was about pleasing the people that she lived with in the city of Nazareth. She didn't care what her neighbors thought. She did what God called her to do in her life. And that's what you need to do as well. What will you choose? It's a question that you often have to answer in your life as you go about life. What will you choose? Will you choose to please God or will you choose to please people? And sometimes you might be able to do both. But there's going to be times when you can't do both. And you need to choose God. Especially if you call yourself a Christian, a believer in Christ, and you're walking with Him. Choose God. Let me finish up with this here today. Mary's response to being pregnant. You know, if you continue reading on in the verses of Luke, you'll come to Luke 1, 46 through 55, which is just on the heels of what we read this morning. We have her response to God, and she finds out that she's going to carry the Christ child, and she's on board with this. She's excited. She's joyful. You know, there's probably a lot of anxiety and so on, nervousness that goes with this, but this is what she says to God. She praises God in what we call the Magnificat. It's her prayer. It's a song that she sings out to God. She sings praise to God. And actually what that word means is an outpouring of praise to God in her life when she finds out what she must do and what she's called to. And she did this throughout her life. Praise God and worship her son Jesus. She became a devoted follower of his ministry here on earth. There were many things that she experienced that she was not ready for. There were many things that she experienced in her life that she was not prepared to see or to feel or to hear what they would do with her son. Some of you have children in here and grandchildren in here. You know what that's like when your child is getting picked on or called names or not part of the group or they feel less than. You know how much that hurts you. Can you imagine what it was like for Mary? What Jesus had to do? She still praised God. You know, sometimes she didn't always understand why life had to be this way. There are times that you're not going to understand, why does life have to be this way? Trust God in those moments. That's what Mary did. Her natural response was always to worship God, no matter what she found herself in. In the good times, when Jesus was healing people in his ministry and he's feeding the 5,000, feeding the 4,000, he's raising people from the dead, those are times to celebrate. But what about the times when he was spit on, when he was scourged, when he had to carry the cross to Golgotha, and she would see him hang on that cross? She praised God in those times as well. Doesn't mean it wasn't hard. Doesn't mean that she wept and she cried out to God. But she still turned to God. So let me ask you this question this morning. What is your natural response to God's work in your life? Wherever you find yourself in, the good things, the bad things, the fun things, the hard things. What is your natural response to God's work in your life? I hope you say that I turn to God to worship. I hope you say that. And when I speak of worship, I mean that on a broader sense. I'm not talking about just here on Sunday, because when I think of worshiping God, what God expects from us and what that looks like is we worship when we work. We worship when we go to school. We worship when we go see entertainment. We worship when we gather as the church. We worship when you meet with family and friends and you do stuff together. That's what worship is. It consumes your life under the glory of God in all aspects. Does your attitude towards worship mirror that of Mary's life? And all that you do this morning. Mary seen God's plan play out in Jesus. She suffered through the crucifixion. She celebrated the resurrection as well. She even was part of that small group in the book of Acts during Pentecost when the good Lord gave the giving of the Holy Spirit. She was there. What a gift from God. You know, to see God's plan unfold to its completion as she's seen her son, Jesus Christ, resurrected from the grave. What glory that must have brought her. What that must have done for her heart. You know, and you got to think back. Remember this. She was Jesus' mother, but Jesus was her Savior as well. He's our Savior as well. Mary didn't know, but we know how the story ends. And so Jesus needs to be a part of your story. And all of God's people said,